I'll ask for a motion for the chair to approach Mr. Jagir, gauge his interest with the conclusion, we'll be scheduling discussion, interview, vetting, moving forward.
So moved.
Second.
All right, so moved to seconded. I call to order the March 1st, 2022 Special School Committee meeting. This meeting is being recorded by Franklin TV. Any individual who also wishes to record must notify the chair. So our only agenda...
I'm recording.
Thank you, Alan. I've never had anybody raise their hand, so thank you.
Thank you.
Our only agenda item this evening is to consider the hiring of the next superintendent of the Franklin Public Schools, including the consideration of internal candidates. So I guess as chair, I will go ahead. And so after our last school committee superintendent search meeting with Tracy Novick from MASC, I would like to suggest moving forward with reviewing our internal candidate, Mr. Lucas Jagir. So I guess I would open it up to the committee for discussion, comments. I guess I'll go, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Has the FEA, have they been reached out? Do we kind of know where some, like, our teachers are thinking?
So I know that, so I spoke to Donna Grady, and she let me know that the FEA is 100% behind Mr. Jagir moving forward with the position. And I know that Donna was planning on coming tonight, but she might be running a little bit late, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate
that.
Yeah.
Megan? I think Mr. Jagir sounds great. I mean, he knows the community, the school system, and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think it sounds good.
Okay.
I've worked with Lucas for about 3 years as a school committee member now, and before that, in the district as a parent. I think he has a number of strengths. I think I also have some hesitations and concerns about losing too many central office administrators or principals or having too much turnover in a district. I think having stability and consistency is really important. Mm-hmm. Lucas is absolutely has critical roles on a number of really important subcommittees within the district and has been extremely involved in all our school committee meetings and presentations. And I think that it behooves us to continue to move our work forward and the initiatives and the goals of the district. Mr. Jagir has full knowledge and participation and investment in all those goals and initiatives. And I think we wouldn't be starting from square one. We wouldn't have to hire somebody that sort of has to get to know everybody, and it takes a while to figure out dynamics. It takes a while to figure out structures and systems and procedures, policies, the whole bit. And so I think that not only does he have strengths individually, independently of his experience here, mm-hmm. But I also think that his experience and investment in the Franklin Public Schools is commendable, mm-hmm. and something that we would want to retain.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because he does, he lives, has kids in the system, so. Dave.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to echo a lot of things that my fellow members said, particularly Elise said. I think continuity is extremely important right now in this time period, particularly as we're transitioning out into pandemics or into the next stage of it. Everything has been just so disrupted over these past few years, and having a steady hand at the helm who has that institutional knowledge and can hit the ground running on day one with our systems, institutions, and knowing already where the needs are, but also where the strengths are, having the relationship with administration, staff, faculty, and teachers, the fact that they know Lucas already too is going to be an immense benefit. And then we know Lucas's dedication to our community, and we know his desire for Franklin Public Schools to succeed, and again, his experience and skills that he brings. So I think he's an excellent, excellent candidate, an excellent person for us to take a look at for this role.
Mm-hmm. Camille.
I have a statement and a question. Having only been on the school committee for a few months, maybe a couple months ago, I might have felt a little hesitant, feeling I had enough exposure to Lucas. But having worked with him on many hours already with the negotiations team, I got to really see him at work. I'd like to echo the continuity for a particular reason, because there are a lot of initiatives that Dr. Hearn has begun, and that this community has shown that it wants to promote, and programs it wants to, whether it's the vertical integration, whether it's DEI, whether it's knowing that we have some challenges ahead of us as far as budget, redistricting, facilities analysis. I think that that would be a lot for a brand new person to take on. I do have a question whether this discussion or whether it comes to a decision precludes our interviewing him.
It does not. So that was going to be a next step, would be that we would have a discussion, you know, an interview vetting process that we would put together with the guidance from NASC, like Tracy had talked about.
Sure.
So, I mean, even though it is within our purview, we could just rubber stamp it and just move forward. But with transparency, you know, we wanted to have a, you know, public interview vetting process.
Yes, that is something I would support.
Yeah, and I mean, especially like you, you know, when Elise had said, Elise and I are the two incumbents and there's five new people, so it only makes sense that we would have some kind of process to go through. Yeah.
Okay. Those are all my questions.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess, so just to clarify what we're speaking of right now, this would be to ask, see if one, do we feel like he's a somebody that we would want to have offer him the role and say, hey, are you interested in this role?
Mm-hmm.
Find out his perspective. If he is, at that point, we would then go through all the public processes of what exactly. So
MASC would vet him, so they would go through his documents, you know, kind of like he did when he was hired here, you know, like go through his resume, background checks, and everything like that. And then we would put together, kind of like, I'm not sure if you watched the superintendent interview with Dr. Hearn.
Yep.
So it would be like that. We would have a sit down and just interview questions with Mr. Jagir.
Is that a public forum? How's that work? Or is that an executive session?
No, it would be a meeting in public.
Okay.
I think if he's the only candidate, because I do remember you had said, Tracy had said if there was a couple candidates, sometimes it's executive session, but I think it's the only
one. Yeah, it was just one.
Okay.
So I guess I'm just trying to figure out what's the purpose, because if we ask him if he's interested, we have a public session, we're asking questions, is it more just to get a feel for it, and he has the job, and it's more we're going through the motions to make sure that folks are aware of this is how his perspective, this is what's going on from a credential standpoint, this is what his vision is, and then there's no like, okay, well, you know, we've heard things and we've changed our mind and we want to go a different direction. Like what is the purpose of these sessions?
I think it's important for the new members to get a chance to ask him questions, to get to know him better, because like Elise said, like she and I have worked really close with him, especially in our first term with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that you guys get a chance to actually sit down and talk to him and feel comfortable signing off on if we would be interested offering him the position.
Okay, so in essence, we're not necessarily offering him the position. It's more now inquiry, and we're feeling this out.
Yes.
And so what would the process look like then, I guess? Because I think Luke, I've worked with him in the 4 or 5 months that we've been here. I'm impressed. For me personally, I don't know many superintendents and assistant superintendents, so there's really nothing for me to compare to say, yes, this works.
Mm-hmm.
And my stance, I mean, change is part of life, so we can't just say, okay, he's there and we want to continue continuity, let's keep the same person. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that he is the best person that he meets our needs.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, what happens? So we have these sessions. If we say, you know, no, we've changed our mind, do we now have to go through an interim process? Like, what's our time frame look like? What does this whole process look like?
So kind of like what Tracy said in the workshop, like we should have started in December, which obviously didn't happen. You know, at this point in time, we would need, God, what did she say, 16 weeks?
It was like 3 months.
To go through a full superintendent search process.
Right.
And we're just not, it's March.
We also have to consider that some districts knew in August, September, October, and started their process early.
A lot earlier.
Superintendents, as Dr. Ahern, already has accepted positions.
Yeah. And if you just look at like the listserv at like all of the new superintendent searches that are happening right now, like we're way behind.
Yeah, I understand that. And I know she had said that if we don't get somebody by the end of June, we would have to have an interim in the meantime. So I don't say we hold ourselves hostage to time.
No.
I say we do what's right for the community, and if we have to go to the interim route, we do.
Then we absolutely, yeah.
But I want us to make sure that we're, what we know and what we've seen, I think the community also supports that as well.
Mm-hmm.
They can say, yep, Lucas is the top candidate,
mm-hmm.
and he makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Not just for the sake of, he's been here, we want to continue the path, because do we want to continue the path? Like, what is our vision? What is our goal?
Yeah.
I think we haven't defined that, and I think we need to be able to say, yes, this is the right person that checks all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the community needs to know what our vision is for the district as well, so that they can say, yep, what you've done aligns with what your vision is. And I don't think we've spelled that out at all.
Yep.
I think we're too new, and I think we need to, I'd rather be slow and methodical versus just saying, we need to get this done within a certain time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think Lucas, he's shown that he does great work, but at the end of the day, can I answer all the questions right now and say, this is why I picked him,
mm-hmm.
and why he makes the most sense, be up better than any other potential candidates? I don't have that as of right now.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that you want me to make a rubric of areas, and, right? Is that what you're hearing? And, you know, like these are priority areas, and then we sort of have rankings or ratings, and then as we ask him questions, we can each individually sort of rank or rate his answers and then compare it afterwards?
I would say yeah, and then also I think it's, does that also align with what the community wants as well? And,
right.
You know, so I don't want to, well, this, like you said, Denise, this is our decision and our decision alone. I want to make sure that the community feels that they're included.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just they're included after we've already said, yep, this is kind of where we're going. And here, you're just kind of tagging along, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like them to be before the decision is close to final as it can be.
Okay.
How do you see community input?
I mean, I think we've seen it today. I don't know if you saw the email around the DE&I director,
mm-hmm.
like where we reached out and asked for some involvement in that way to see what they said. I think the reaching out to the FEA, I think we can get them to speak a little bit more. So mm-hmm. Thank you for joining.
Sure.
Just their perspective as well. Just so that all those that are impacted have some sort of say,
mm-hmm.
and we can use that to, you know, figure out what makes the most sense. And like I said, I'm not saying that he's not the candidate and he doesn't fit. I think it's just saying we're doing ourselves a disservice if we just exactly if we go based off of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think he's doing a great job as an assistant superintendent,
mm-hmm.
and if we do have an interim, he'll still be here for as an assistant superintendent, and he can still go through the process, and you know, if he's the best fit, then so be it, you know?
So possibly having like public participation in like terms of like having like interviews.
Yeah, I would say in whatever we want to ask for questions, we have that as an interview question and do that publicly, yes.
Okay.
We, you know, reach out to the the families and see what they're looking for in the superintendent. What are the things that they saw from Dr. Ahern that they liked, that they didn't like, and see what does that ideal candidate look like? I mean, I just recently personally went through hiring an analyst, and one of the things that I had to do was I had to think of, like, what is my ideal candidate look like before I even had that, so that I knew what boxes that needed to be checked. Mm-hmm. And right now, I don't have an ideal superintendent. Mm-hmm. I don't have a, as you said, rubric to say, mm-hmm. hey, these are the things that we need to have. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you, does Lucas hit all of them? I think he does, but I don't know what they are to check off and say yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think where I'd like to see expediency, though, is in this interview process with him, to have that go quickly so that if he had to shift to another route, that we would still mm-hmm. have some time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, people have known about this meeting. I can't imagine he hasn't been thinking about since Sarah announced, but so I can't imagine he would be object to being expedient now. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say, sorry to jump in, I don't want to say presumptively these are definitive. This is more of a inquiry, and we'll see how things go, and are the boxes checked, and if they are, then we can talk through and move to the next steps.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Donna, I saw you walked in. We were talking about you before you came in.
Sorry, I was on careful call.
That's okay.
Do you mind if I stand up?
No, go ahead.
So thank you. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Donna Grady, and I'm the president of the FEA, the Franklin Education Association. Thank you for your questions, Al, and your thoughts. I'm going to disagree a little bit, just because I've been doing this for 33 years. I think your points are well taken, as are yours, Camille. And I've known Lucas for a very long time. I think if we're going to get an ideal candidate, we already have one. I've known Lucas for 23 years, and honestly, there is no ideal candidate. There's never going to be, but if we're going to be close, he's already here. And I say that because Lucas is vested in this community. Lucas started a very long time ago, I believe, as an ESP in our district, and literally worked his way up the ladder to where he is now. We've already lost him once. He was principal in another town. And we were so, so lucky to get him back. Lucas is respected in this community as probably one of the hardest workers that we have, but as a parent, as a community member. Now, Sarah is so well educated, more than any superintendent that I know. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also on the MTA Board of Directors. So statewide, I know lots of superintendents. There are over 200 vacancies in superintendentships right now. Nobody, just like no one's jumping into educator prep programs, no one's jumping into superintendencies. It's a very, very difficult job. Lucas already knows what the job entails. He's at pretty much everything. We've seen him there. He's there because his kids are there. He's there because he wants to support the community. Lucas has that experience. I don't know what Lucas's educational background is, but I know that he has the oomph to do it. You know, for any incoming superintendent, just as Sarah had a mentor, the FEA would recommend to make sure that anybody coming in would be successful, that any candidate would have a mentor. We would say that across the board. When Maureen Zetelinsky was, it's just good practice. Lucas is a member of this community. I'm not going to speak for him and say he's going anywhere, because I don't think that he is. He's been in this community for a long time. My fear would be that if we don't snatch him up, that he will go somewhere else. And that other community would be so lucky to have him, as are we. Lucas is seen in all of the schools all of the time. And I don't discount any family input, any community input, but the reality is a lot of what is done at central office is kind of out of the realm of the community. I think if you knocked on an average citizen's door and said, what are you going to look for in a superintendent? I don't think they know. I think a lot of educators don't know. Lucas is a great listener. He is visible. The educators all respect him. They all know him. He's approachable. Lucas is a great listener. Lucas has a lot of really good strengths, but he's also not afraid to ask for help. That's what you want in a superintendent. That's what you want in an administrator, in a boss, just in a person who's going to support your schools moving forward. And I say that, you know, with all due respect, we are very, very behind in our process. And I'm not saying move it forward because it's Lucas. Move it forward because we're so far behind. I've seen a lot of the candidates out there. I was on Sarah's interview committee. Honestly, 150%, the minute that we knew Sarah was gonna take the other superintendency, I can honestly say that my inbox and my text box has been full with folks here saying, can I write a personal letter of recommendation? How can we get Lucas hired? The community, the staff, and the faculty here think that Lucas is the person. I think that says a lot for Lucas. I think it says a lot for the staff to have such confidence. Mm-hmm. That's not to say if someone else was the person, of course we would support them. We will work with anybody. We will make it work. But for people to do it that quickly, mm-hmm. you know, we got the text, oh, did you see Sarah as a finalist? Is it going to be Lucas? Is mm-hmm. it going to be Lucas? I think that says a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely, I would encourage all of you, do your due diligence. Talk to the staff, 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that what you're going to hear is what I'm telling you. But ask them, please do. Please do. They are not shy. You all know that. You know that they're not shy. I think it would be a really, really wonderful, wonderful thing, moving our schools forward and just really coming off of this pandemic that we're still in has been really hard. And I think it would kind of really boost morale. I think it would boost the kids. I think it would boost the community. I think it would be a really good move on the part of the school committee. That's my opinion. I'm saying that as Donna, not as the FEA president. I'm going to throw my hat in and say I think it would be a good thing for everybody as a whole. So that's my two cents. And we've been through the process before. It's a tough process. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of candidates out there. So good luck. We're happy to help in any way that we can. My vote's for Lucas.
Thank you, Donna.
Sure. Can I have a comment?
Yeah. Just to piggyback off of what Donna said, I think as we hear from the district about the initiative with social emotional learning, and we're talking about relationships first before teaching, and relationships are the most important thing, building connection between people and humans, and Lucas has that already. So even if we get a phenomenal new candidate, it's going to take that person to time, effort, to build relationships with all the massive staff that we have here in Franklin and all the families and the community members. Lucas has that already. And true, not 100% of people don't love 100% of everybody. You know, like they're going to be naysayers. There certainly are. And, you know, we all have different perspectives and opinions. But I think that the majority of, I've talked to so many staff, I've talked to so many families, community members, and that's everybody saying, it's got to be Lucas. It's got to be Lucas. Because he's got those, people trust him. People respect him. People look to him for, you know, a calm presence and some direction. And I think that I feel really confident, you know, backing that, especially based on the relationship piece and just based on like the amount of time that it will save him as a new superintendent in this role, not having to figure out, oh, who's the director of student support? Oh, who's the you know, it takes so long, and then just getting to know all the dynamics and let alone all the work that's happening, like the institutional knowledge, like Dave McNeil said. So I think that, you know, looking ahead,
wanting to hit the ground running, I think Mr. Jagir would be a really strong superintendent for Franklin.
Denise, can I jump in? Can I interrupt for 1 second? Elise, I think you said it way better than I did.
Not true.
It is the relationship. It's the relationships that he has. And you're right, there are going to be people who are like, are we promoting from within again just because it's the easiest thing? Honestly, it's the relationships that have been made over the years. That is Lucas's strong point. Not only with the educators and the staff, but in particular with the kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, that if you see him interact with any of the kids, whether it's at the ECDC or the high school, that is his thing. It's really a talent that he has, and I think mm-hmm. that is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. It's the well-being of the kids. And you can see it when he enters a room, the kids light up and he lights up. And that is very important. I think that is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. And just to piggyback off what Dawn is saying, piggybacking off of what I said, which piggybacked off what she said.
Did you get that for the notes?
This, all the things.
Did you get that for
the notes? No, but this is the type of thing. So if any of you have been on interview committees before, right? So we can look at a resume, we can look at educational background, we can look at experience, we can call references, but like these are the soft skills, right? Like the relationship skills. Like how do we know when we're looking at resumes? We don't know. We know with Lucas, we've been working with him for years. We know with stuff that could never be written down, maybe in a letter of support or a reference letter, a very warm and fuzzy one maybe, but usually people stick to the skills. And I feel like it's that, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's that piece that's harder to define on a rubric, as much as I love rubrics, it's harder to define and check that box and circle the four. For strong investment in connection building or something.
Yeah, I think that's where we're coming from different places. Mm. When you have this historic
history with them,
I don't.
Yeah. True.
And I don't want to just say yes for the sake of saying yes. And from the limited time I have, I mean, I have a good feeling about that he'd be a great superintendent, mm-hmm. but I don't know what else is out there and what the process is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think back to Donna, I don't know if the FEA can provide a letter of support or endorsement for Lucas. I guess is that something that's normally done?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. The membership wanted to make the endorsement. And I will tell you, I will be really honest, I asked Lucas outright, and Lucas being Lucas, who is so respectful of the process, would not answer me. He would not. He said, you know what? Whatever the committee decides, I want to be respectful of the process, and it really ticked me off. And I kept asking him, and he wouldn't answer me. He said, whatever direction the committee goes in is the direction that I will support.
Yeah.
So we have, I've been in the district 23 years. We will always, as I said, we will work with whomever, is the candidate. We are happy to do that. We will support. This has to work for all of us. It's a community event. But when we feel very strongly, as we do, and members come up and say, we have to support. We will. So. But I mean, to your point, again, we're not going to say yes just to say yes. Mm. We don't feel the push of the timeline as you do, but knowing a lot of districts started last June, last July with the fiscal year, it's hard. And knowing the candidates that are out there and the financial crunches, having an interim superintendent is difficult.
Yep. Understood. And I guess from my perspective, and I guess maybe it's an ask for me,
mm-hmm.
could you give the FEA, send me a letter of
sure.
support? Because I think what I don't know is what I don't know.
Yep.
And I think that's why I wanted to talk.
It wasn't me.
Do you want all of membership? Would you like the board to sign it? What would you like?
I guess whatever is the highest level of support,
sure.
encompassing the larger body.
Okay, sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, I wouldn't mind, personally, if members wanted to, if it's all right, to reach out directly, to shoot us an email with, you know, if they're comfortable with that. I certainly wouldn't mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Dave.
I'll start getting my fingers ready again.
What I'll also say too, though, is there are a lot of districts out there that the group of teachers and educators that we have, they don't have that same. There's a lot of conflict between you know, what goes on in the school and what goes on in central office. Mm-hmm. And to kind of hear something this strongly, to know that, like, in Franklin, that isn't, you know, the issue here, you know, and that with somebody such as Lucas, that, you know, we have a full-throated, like, support from the teachers is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Because it's only going to make, you know, it just causes so much unnecessary strife when, mm-hmm. when there is that conflict between the you know, the two groups. So, Donna, thank you so much for those words. That's really appreciate to kind of hear where the FEA is coming from. And because I know that just how important that is, both for our teachers, for the admin team, for the district mm-hmm. at large, to kind of have so many individuals that are on the same page, kind of working in one direction, as opposed to mm-hmm. kind of pushing against each other.
Mm-hmm. And that's been a goal. We have really worked at that. That's not to say that we don't have differences, because we do. But that's been, I mean, we've been through 4 or 5 superintendents, mm-hmm. And that has been a goal since I have been here. That's been very important to, and I don't say sides, to both teams. You know, and there are things that always come up, but we are a family that lives together day in and day out, and how we all get along and work together directly impacts our kids.
Gotcha.
And that is the most important thing.
And that makes sense. And just to clarify, I'm not saying no to Lucas.
It's
more to the process, because I know this is our core responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the community to feel that we are turfing it off and going the easy route. I want them to realize that we are, you know, doing our due diligence, we are making sure that we are taking them into consideration, and we are doing it for the future of the district and the students, you know?
Well, I'd like to thank you for raising mm-hmm. concerns, because I didn't hear the passion until we raised concerns. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what I need to hear, mm-hmm. is a passionate advocacy for him. Again, because I, like Al, want to feel confident in my very important, one of the top duties as a school committee member, and having only been in this position since November, it's important to hear the passionate advocacy for his candidacy.
Yes. I'm so glad and not surprised that the FEA is in support of Mr. Jaguar. I think the other really huge part, well, so many huge parts of superintendent role, is the political side with the town. And so, again, going back to the relationship, so Mr. Jaguar knows Jamie Helen, and he knows, you know, the town councilors, and he's, you know, invested in that whole side, because when we're talking advocating for school budgets, when we're talking about, you know, communicating with the town to have you know, the town councilors understand, you know, why we're asking for this capital item, or why we need this or that, really working together as a team. And that was Dr. Ahern and Jamie Helen worked really, really well together, really collaboratively. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a huge benefit here. You know, their offices are so close, just physically, it really sort of adds to that. And a lot of towns don't have that, and mm-hmm. central office and the town are very different, separate location, and also as far as working together. And I just think that we're so lucky to have that here in the building together, and that Lucas already knows and respects the town side, and they know and respect Lucas. I assume, I don't want to speak for them, but we could certainly find out, do our due diligence, and talk to Jamie Helen about you know, us putting Mr. Jaguar forward, get his perspective on things, and the town councilors, and just have conversations, and really you know, try to collect information from a number of stakeholders.
Thank you.
Denise, if I may.
Yes.
Just want to say, Donna, thank you. Again, just to echo fellow community members, thank you for the FEA's input and also the input of your members and what teachers think of Lucas. I think, making sure that our schools, both at an individual school level, classroom level, but also Franklin Public Schools level as a system, make sure that we're running as a well-oiled machine is extremely important for the benefit of who we want to be as a school system, as a community, but of course, when it comes down to it, the benefit of our students and providing the best possible educational experience for them. And I'm thinking, what you're saying in terms of support for Lucas as a candidate is extremely beneficial for us to know. So, thank you for bringing that forward.
So I guess, so for next steps, because I want to be sensitive for everyone's concerns. So I know that we talked about expediency, setting up the interviews. So setting up the interviews.
Interviews singular?
Interviews.
Okay.
Sorry.
Why?
Because with just the school committee, and we could also have, we could have discussions with central office or maybe staff, if staff wanted to reach out. In terms of, I could reach out to Tracy, because I know that she could put together the list of qualifications, put it in a nice little package for us, to check off.
We could kind of, if she does her work, and then we could also present and say, hey, this is how, where he lands, and this is in
yep.
comparison to other candidates in other districts, this is how he's kind of ranked,
yep.
just based off of what we see from a resume and credential standpoint,
Yep.
I mean, and what you mentioned earlier, Elise, about the relationship he has, we already know all that, but just really, how does he compare on paper?
Yeah. And that's part of the vetting, too. Like, she'll put together a packet for us to go through. And, so we would have that to review in addition to whatever rubric we put together.
So do we need to establish a subcommittee, or are we just going to all... Okay,
no. We could all interview him.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
And as far as, the work behind the scenes, as far as interview, give me more work. I don't wear enough hats.
I know. I'm sitting here. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go home and call Tracy, put together stuff.
Yeah, I'm happy to help.
Okay,
but as far, because there's a lot of work behind the scenes, as far as, getting questions together and rubric, and
yeah.
if we're going to do sort of the scheduling, as if we're going to have different stakeholder groups, are you thinking?
Yeah.
We would meet with a handful of teachers and a handful of town
like
staff,
yeah.
like some community members, parents. And
I think, too, if we just ask, the community to email, I don't think we need to, have interviews.
Yeah,
with
do we have
this.
To have a whole meeting with all
okay,
of the
you're
stakeholders?
Right,
no.
We could just,
just reach out, like the town counselors, if you want to know mm-hmm. how he is with Jamie, reach out to Jamie. Jamie's very approachable.
Okay. So it's not a formal.
No, I think that, if people want to know, everyone was saying that, for the town counselors or the FinCom mm-hmm. people, reach
right.
out to them.
Right,
ask.
Right, right. Yep. Central office.
Yeah.
Okay. Principals, assistant principals? Because how far can our, because
do whatever we want.
Because he has worked really closely with the assistant principals for a number of years on a couple very specific initiatives, and I feel like that could be enlightening as far as like moving forward certain initiatives.
Yeah, we could put principals and assistant principals in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How long do you think a process like this might take?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
Okay.
Because I spoke to Tracy today, and she was like, she answered all of my questions, but she was like, there's going to be tons more questions tonight, mm-hmm. and you're not going to know the answers, so call me back. Mm-hmm. Because this is our first, Elise and I's first time doing this.
Yep.
But, we could probably reach out to principals and assistant principals tomorrow
okay.
and get stuff set up,
mm-hmm.
Reach out to Lucas, set it up. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it would be immediate, but
more just making sure, because kind of in either scenario, either we run the full gamut and we really want to kind of put forward and we all make the vote, or we have it on an interim basis. In either situation, we're still going to need an assistant superintendent
mm-hmm.
to fill that void,
yep.
because that's something that, say, Lucas as an interim superintendent won't be able to wear both hats. So either way, we're going to be looking for a number two.
And, oh, no, is that?
Doesn't the superintendent hire the assistant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the superintendent.
I apologize. Us personally, not the.
No, right. The superintendent hires everyone below
the district
yeah.
itself.
Yeah, right.
The district itself will be looking for a number two.
Yeah.
And we also don't want to belabor that.
No.
Right. I see what you mean. Like, we have to hire the superintendent first.
Exactly. Yeah. So, no matter what you know, move we don't want to wait so long to either, you know, kind of offer the job or offer the interim position. And then say, all right, you know, Lucas, you're starting on Tuesday, and now all of a sudden, you know, on Wednesday, you got your first duty is to kind of look for that assistant, you know, so just to be able to kind of add as much time as possible for whatever that person is to be able to also look for that number two.
That's a good point.
And actually, that brings up another question. So I was under the impression that Dr. Hearn would run through her contract and Lucas would, or whoever was the person would start right after, so July 1st. Mm-hmm. For the process of, if it was Lucas, for the process of getting an assistant superintendent, when would that begin? Would that begin once Lucas begins, or would it begin prior to it once we've announced? Like how does that work?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I think they would probably post it as soon as they knew there was
possible.
A vacancy.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, like, who officially signs the paper. If maybe Sarah does.
Yeah, you don't have to leave a position before you advertise.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I guess we need confirmation. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
Because if we're muddy right now, I don't want us to say one way to not be that way.
Yeah. That person can definitely be hired. It can, once it's, you know, writes his letter of resignation from the assistant position, then that's vacant, and then they post that, and that's a whole process that Lisa Traynor could tell us all about. Yeah.
Can you second into that a little bit, if it helps?
Sure.
It's actually very similar to what Elise says, is whoever the candidate is, say it's Lucas, once Lucas accepts the position, he could write a letter of resignation effective June 30th for being assistant superintendent. So then a posting would become available effective July 1st, say, for assistant superintendent. And then my understanding is that you could post it as an interim. It could be posted as a full-time assistant superintendent, but that Lucas would do that hiring, obviously in consultation.
Yeah.
And then it would just really be a regular hiring process of that, of whatever that position was deemed to be, interim, full-time, whatever. And it would have to be posted. I believe it's posted. It has to be posted for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm good for now.
Okay. All right. So for next steps, for expediency purposes, we will move forward with the scheduling of the interviews ASAP. We'll work on a rubric on questions, vetting packet for the committee. We'll put together folks in addition to Lucas to kind of reach out to for character, professional references. Mm-hmm. Principals, assistant principals, we could set up interviews with, you know, CO people to get a better idea. So I guess we'll take, if there's no more questions, comments?
Does this also include the FEA letter of support?
I will put that in there.
Thank you.
Well, he's got my official notes, but I had asked him to take care of it for me, and he very nicely said yes. okay. So nothing else.
I guess it's not really a question. It's just clarification. Okay, so as far as like saying setting up, like is that all through the chair? It's not like I'm calling building principals tomorrow morning. Okay, so it all goes through the chair as far as scheduling things, setting things up.
Yeah, gotta work with
sitting. Right, yeah, okay. Just wanted to clarify.
No, nope, don't worry.
Because usually our procedures to go through the superintendent go down.
Yeah.
So, okay.
No, we're going to work it out.
Can you delegate some of that so you don't have to do it?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
I can do that. Thank you for offering.
I am offering.
work just picked up too, so I'm like, this is a lot of work. All right, so I'll ask for a motion for the chair to approach Mr. Jagir, gauge his interest, with the conclusion, you know, we'll be scheduling discussion, interview, vetting, moving forward.
So moved.
Second.
All right, so moved to seconded. And we'll take a roll call vote. I shouldn't have put everybody out of, I know I shouldn't have typed, shouldn't have put it out of order. No, it's Camille.
Yes.
Bernstein, Callahan.
Yes.
Charles.
Yes.
McNeil.
Yes.
Stokes.
Yes.
Whitmore.
Yes.
Spencer, yes. All right, so moved. I guess that's it. That's all we had for planned for tonight. So I will make a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote.
Yes.
Callahan.
Yes.
Charles.
Yes.
McNeil.
Yes.
Stokes.
Yes.
Whitmore.
Yes.
Spencer. Yes. All right, thank you very much,
Yay.
Everybody.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.